Vayak Hail Moshe Eskoladas Bnei Yisrael Vayomer Alehem Eile Hadivarim Asher Tziva Adonai Laso So So Moshe assembled the entire assembly of the children of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that Hashem commanded to do them." ... Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe lemor kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael lifkudehem v'nasenu ishko fernafsho ladonai bifkodosam v'lo yehevahem negef bifkodosam Ze yitinu kol hover al hapikudim machatzis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh esrim geira hashekel machatzis hashekel tiruma ladonai kol hover al hapikudim mi ben esrim shana v'omala Yitain terumas Adonai, he'oshir lo yarbeh, v'hadal lo yam'it mimachatzis ha'shokel, lo seis es terumas Adonai, l'chaper al nafsho seichem, v'lo kachta es kesef ha'kipurim, me'eis b'nei Yisrael, Vinasata oso al avodas ohel moed vihaya livne Yisrael zikara lizikaron lifne Adonai lechaper al nafsho seichem. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, when you take a census of the children of Israel, according to their numbers, every man shall give Hashem an atonement for his soul when counting them, so that there will not be a plague among them when counting them. This shall they give, everyone who passes through the census, a half shekel of the sacred shekel. The shekel is 20 gerah, half a shekel as a portion to Hashem. Everyone who passes through the census from 20 years of age and up shall give the portion of Hashem. The wealthy shall not increase, and the destitute shall not decrease from half a shekel, to give the portion of Hashem to atone for your souls. You shall take the silver of the atonements for the children of Israel and give it to the work of the tent of meeting, and it shall be a remembrance before Hashem for the children of Israel to atone for their souls. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. This is your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Vayakhel, which is also Shabbat Parshat Shekalim. I'll explain both in a moment. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 23rd day of Adar Rishon. The first Adar, 5776, corresponding to March 3rd. Happened to be right between my brother's English birthday of March 2nd and his Hebrew birthday of Kuf Dalid, which is tomorrow. So I wish him an unbirthday, happy unbirthday, but really not, because as we were growing up, our parents always celebrated our birthdays from the Hebrew to the English, or vice versa, And sometimes that would be 3 up to 4 weeks, and sometimes it would be a day. And that's the story. So very happy birthday to the sheriff of B'nai Brak. And I bet you didn't think that B'nai Brak had a sheriff, but that's a story by itself. Okay, Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mi-ma'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmoria Adonai mi-ya'amod ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim l'boker shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. Zehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara v'ashivya. Ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Ha-makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'meafela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula. Hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar. Amen. A number of weeks ago, I had asked readers to email me just to say they listen. And I got many that responded to that, and I appreciate it. I don't mean to, I don't know what the word is, to bother you. But if you are listening, and let's say the opening music today, I could tell you what it is. I could make it a contest. And we have CDs of Jewish music to give for the prizes. And I'd be curious to know if anybody recognizes the opening music and makes a connection to this week. But I really wouldn't mind if you would just drop an email to TT, Torah Tidbits, at ouisrael.org. Just to say hello, so I don't get the feeling that I am sitting in my office talking to myself. And I know people listen, but it's nice to find out where they live and how far the broadcast listenership spreads out from here. Anyway, enough of that. At the opening Torah reading, I read the first pasuk of Vayakhel. I want to go back to it and point out something. And then I read the entire 6 verses of Parshat Shekalim. So let's give an overview of that. The Gemara teaches us, actually it's from the Mishnah as well, the Talmud teaches us that there are 4 special Torah portions that are read sometime before Pesach, and this is in addition to the regular weekly portion, which means on these Shabbatot, we take out 2 Torahs. In the first Torah, we call 7 people to the Parshat HaShavua, which this week is Vayakhel, and then in a second Torah, we call the Maftir. Instead of the usual procedure of repeating the last 3 to 6 verses for the Maftir before he gets to read the portion from the prophets known as the Haftarah, on the special Shabbatot, the Maftir is its own Torah reading, and as I said, in a second Torah scroll, and the 4 parshiot are Shekalim, Zachor, Parah, and Hachodesh. They are not read in 4 consecutive weeks. There is always at least 1 Shabbat break in the sequence, which would mean 5 weeks for the 4. And this year, we're in that situation where there are 2 breaks, and that means it's a 6-week span of time for the reading of the 4 special portions. The first one, Shekalim, is read on or right before Rosh Chodesh Adar, specifically the Adar that has Purim and the one that's right before Pesach, which means in a 2 Adar year like this one, it's the 2nd Adar. So this Shabbat, we will announce that Rosh Chodesh, Adar Bet, Adar Sheni, will be next Thursday and Friday. And that means that this Shabbat is the Shabbat right before Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and it becomes Parshat Shkalim. So the second Torah has a reading. The reading happens to be the beginning of last week's reading, which is unusual that the special reading should be so close to the weekly portion, but that's the way it works out sometimes with Shkalim. And there's an interesting, I was going to say contrast, but it's not really a contrast. It's a very nice partnership between Vayakel and Parshat Shkalim, which I'll get to in a moment. Actually, I'll get to it right now. Parshat Vayakel, which is often paired with Pekudei, but not in a Shana Me'uberet, a two Adar year. Parshat Vayakel contains 122 psukim, verses, the first three of which deal with Shabbat. The following 119 verses all deal with the Mishkan. Now, I spent time last week talking about this. The content of Vayakel is very, very similar, different order, but very similar to the content of Parshat Terumah. And the word Terumah shows up as both the voluntary give what you want and what you can kind of donation, but in the context of Shkalim, it is the term that is used for the donation or the payment of the silver half shekel, which was basically a tax that everybody had to give the same amount. And the context of Shkalim, which is the beginning of Kitisa, finishes off Terumah, Tetzaveh, and the first third of Kitisa that deals with the Mishkan. So here we are again dealing with the Mishkan. This time, the Bitsua, the carrying out of the command. The first time it was God speaking to Moshe, telling him what to say to the people of Israel. And in our Parsha today, this week, he actually says it to them. But it concludes in that second Torah with the Shkalim, and it's a very much of a all wrapped up in one kind of idea. Now, the materials that were mentioned back in Terumah, but are again here, listen to how they sound. Kechu me'itchem Terumah la'Hashem, take a gift to God, kol nediv libo, whatever your heart tells you, yivyeha et trumat Hashem. What? Zahav v'chesef unchoshet, gold and silver and copper. Utchelet v'argaman v'tolad shani v'sheish izim, v'izim. And fabrics of wool dyed different colors, and goat hair, and linen. V'orot elim ma'adamim, red dyed sheepskin. V'orot tchashim v'atzei shitim, and the skin of the tachash. We won't get into that now. And wood. V'shemen lama'or, oil for lighting, and besamim for the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, and spices for the Ketoret, and precious gems for the Avnei Shoam and Avnei Miluim for the Ephod and the Choshen. Okay, all of that was given by people to their heart's content, except for the silver. The silver was everybody sharing equally, as the portion that I read before tells us. A wealthy person did not give more. A poor person did not give less. Everyone gives a half shekel. In fact, the term Terumah is used in the six verses of Parshat Shkalim three times. Trumat Hashem, again Trumat Hashem, and again Trumat Hashem, a gift of God to God for God. And that gives rise to the custom of commemorating the giving of the silver half shekel by the giving of not one, not two, but three half shekel coins in our currency here, or half dollars, or half pounds, or half euros, or whatever, as a commemoration of the silver half shekel. We'll talk about that when we get closer to Purim, because the other commemoration of Shkalim, the first one being the reading of Parshat Shkalim this Shabbat, is one thing. And then on the right before Megillah reading for Purim, we have the custom of giving to a collection plate a three half shekel coins. And as I said, there are more details, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks. But there's the full picture. You want to make a donation? How much you want to give? Anything? No set amount? Oh, thank you very much for your generous contribution. And that's one thing. The other thing is, no, I'm sorry, you need to get change. Actually, you need to go to the money changer and hand us a one-half shekel coin. Even if you give us a different currency that's equal to the silver half shekel, it needs to be in the form of a silver half shekel. And there's a message in that. Half means not whole. Half means part. Half means there are other parts. And that refers to the attempt at Jewish unity for this undertaking of support of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, the first half shekel collection, which we will read about in the second Torah this Shabbat, was used almost exclusively for the foundation sockets, foundation blocks of the boards of the Mishkan. And that's very significant because foundation means exactly that. That's what you start with. And you build upon it from monies and donations that came in from people, however much they wanted to give. But the foundation, the starting point, is everybody is in this together, all of Israel. There was a little leftover silver that was used for decorating some of the beams in the around the courtyard that from which the drapes were hung, the curtains were hung. In any event, it's significant in a total picture of communal funding that there are many projects that you give what you want. But there are some projects where it's very important that everybody gives the same. And that would be like membership. There is no membership based on person's economic ability to give. You want to join, this is the membership fee, and everybody pays the same amount. You want to make another donation, we have plenty of funds that will accept that, but not the basic machatzit shekel. And there's a lot of message in that as well. I want to go on to another angle now. I briefly mentioned earlier that the first three verses in Vayakhel deal with Shabbat. And the 119 verses that follow deal with the Mishkan, and we're not finished. It continues into Pekudei. And it really continues into much of the book of Vayikra. But the first three psukim are about Shabbat. And this is sort of a parallel to the presentation of the Mishkan in Terumah, in Tetzaveh, in the first third of Ki Tisah, where the whole process of Mishkan and everything in it and everything about it concluded in that case with a six-verse portion about Shabbat. Now, Shabbat and Mishkan have a very, very special relationship throughout Torah and throughout Jewish thinking and Jewish life. We have two times a verse in different places in the Torah that says, Et Shabtotai Tishmoru, My Shabbats you shall preserve, Umikdashi Tiro, and my sanctuary you shall revere, Ani Hashem. So there is a hand-in-hand partnership between the Mishkan and Shabbat. Now, one of the presentations of Shabbat at the end of that command to build everything teaches us that you're not allowed to do the actual building of the Mishkan on Shabbat. In other words, Shabbat is supreme. And that would seem to give the edge, if this is a competition, to Shabbat over Mikdash. But not really, because there are many things, once the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, got into its functioning day to day, there were many things on Shabbat that we ordinarily wouldn't be allowed to do. In other words, if Shabbat overrode the Mishkan Mikdash completely, then there wouldn't be any sacrifices on Shabbat. But there are the daily sacrifices and the Musafim. And we wouldn't light the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat. We would wait till after Shabbat, but it's not. It's lit on Shabbat. And many, many other things that are done in the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat, which are required to be done. I'm not really comfortable with thinking in terms of competition, but there definitely is a, I don't know, a point that I'm leading to as far as the way we think and the way the Torah presents the concepts of Mikdash and the concept of Shabbat. It's not a matter of which is more important, but it's definitely, I don't know, you know, the lead tidbit is called Je ne sais quoi this year, this week, because I really don't know how to identify it. I just know what I want to say, and I hope I will get to that point towards the beginning of the second half. So stay tuned for more Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Vayakhel and Shkalim. You are listening to Torah Tibbetz audio for Vayakhel and Parshat Shkalim. And here's the continuation of where I had left off, and we'll pick it up from the end of these next 2 minutes. Other juxtapositions of Shabbat and Mikdash teach us the definition of creative activities that are forbidden on Shabbat as coming from those activities that were done in the construction of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan. And that's very significant as well. So since there were necessity to have, let's say, the bread, the showbread, the Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan in the Mishkan, then all the processes from plowing and planting and reaping and harvesting and winnowing and threshing and all of that become associated with Mikdash and become the category heads of that which we're not allowed to do on Shabbat. It's more complicated than that, but that's enough for now. Now, the hand-in-hand aspect of Mikdash and Shabbat is sanctity of place and sanctity of time. We, human beings, are place and time. We are three-dimensional physical existence represented on a sanctuary level by the Mishkan, and we exist in a continuum of time, past, present, and future, and the sanctity of that is Shabbat and our Chagim. So, very, very much a hand-in-hand thing. The one thing which to me is a recent, I can't really say a recent idea, it sort of just crystallized what I've been thinking. This is what I was driving at a shiur that I gave earlier this week, and what I was driving at the lead tidbit, which I was limited in space for, and which you're getting a fuller dose of. The idea comes from the way Shabbat caps off the whole process, 242 psukim or 236 psukim about Mishkan, Truma Tetzava, beginning of Kitisa. And the language that the Torah uses, including an emphasis on there being a capital punishment for desecration of Shabbat, and it's repeated more than once. And all of this is before the Torah presents us with the golden calf fiasco. But listen to the language. And God said to Moshe, saying, and you shall speak to the people of Israel, saying, Ach et Shabtotai Tishmoru. However, notwithstanding all of the above, you must preserve the Shabbat. Now, I told you before that we learn from that, or we are taught from that, that the building of the Mikdash does not continue on Shabbat. But the Torah goes through it more. Ki oti beini uveinechem lidoroteichem. Because Shabbat is a sign between me and you for all generations. La da'at ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. To know that I am God who sanctifies you. The Mishkan, the Mikdash, the holy temple, the sanctuary, as holy as it is, the Torah is pointing out that it is Shabbat that is the sign of the covenant between God and the people of Israel, that he is making us a holy nation. Furthermore, the Torah makes a point of saying, Lidoroteichem. Prophetic irony, let's call it, that the Mikdash was not Lidoroteichem, because there were many, many generations between the Mishkan and ultimately the Beit HaMikdash, and between the first Beit HaMikdash and the second, and especially from the demise of the second Beit HaMikdash till today, we're talking about 1,950 years. That's a long, long period of time, that the Mikdash is not Lidoroteichem. Shabbat is. I can't even claim that that's the intention of the wording, but that's a feeling that I got from all of the above and Moshe's final words at God's instruction, and even listen to the way it's said. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe lemor, God said to Moshe, saying, V'ata tedaber el b'nei Yisrael lemor, and you shall speak to the people of Israel this way, and say to them, Ach et Shabtotai tishmoru, however you must observe my Sabbath. So again, on a practical level, don't build the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan on Shabbat. But more than that is the explanation that the Torah gives, that this is the eternal sign of the covenant between God and Israel. Now, the Torah continues about the sanctity of Shabbat, and I mentioned before the death penalty, and then the well-known psukim, Vishomeru v'nei Yisrael et haShabbat, the children of Israel shall keep, preserve the Shabbat, La'asot et haShabbat lidorotam, there it is again, berit olam, an eternal covenant. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael ot hi le'olam. Shabbat is the eternal forever sign. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et haShamayim v'et haAretz, uvayom hashvi'i Shabbat v'yinafash. That God created the world. Do other mitzvot tell us that? For sure. Does Mikdash tell us that? Yes. But Mikdash has a different kind of function. And again, I am not suggesting that Shabbat is more important than Mikdash. They definitely go hand in hand. They together represent the sanctity of our entire beings as three dimensions. And to use the archaic Jules Verne type of thinking from the end of the 19th century, that time is the fourth dimension. As much as that's been poo-pooed in many, many later scientific presentations, the idea on one level appeals to me very much, because that's us. And I just happened to be in the middle of rereading The Time Machine, which I found on an app that I downloaded that serializes classic books and stories, and that's one of the ones that I chose. So that's not the point. The point is Shabbat. Okay, now here's my point. In addition to all of the above, Beit HaMikdash, Holy Temple, the Tabernacle, the Mishkan, in its temporary form until the more permanent Beit HaMikdash, is or casts us, most of us, in the position of observers, bystanders, spectators. Yes, when we have to bring a korban, we get a little bit more active and involved. But essentially, it is the Kohen Gadol and the other Kohanim, and to a lesser extent, the Leviim, who are the active participants in this fantastically significant, monumental institution known as the fulfillment of the Asuli Mikdash, the Shachanti B'tocham. But we are spectators. Yom Kippur, when the Mishnah describes packed crowds in the courtyards of the Beit HaMikdash, whatever praying a person did quietly to himself, it was, by and large, being there as spectators. We smelled the smells and heard the sounds and saw some of the sights, but we were not active except when we heard God's name and we bowed down and prostrated ourselves and did vidui. But there is a strong, strong element of spectator. When it comes to Shabbat, it belongs on an active level to every single Jew. And that, to me, makes a world of difference. Again, I'm not saying it's more important. I'm saying it's different. I'm trying to explain why it's different. And I believe that the difference is why God calls Shabbat the eternal sign between him and the people of Israel. Because we don't just watch Shabbat being observed. We do Shabbat. We prepare for Shabbat. We daven on Shabbat. We eat on Shabbat. We sing on Shabbat. We learn Torah on Shabbat. We rest on Shabbat. We live Shabbat. I did not write this, but with the beginning of spring training and my listening to the Giants and the Los Angeles Angels playing their first Cactus League game yesterday, with the Giants won 4-1, which doesn't mean anything, but it's a nice way to start. The analogy of baseball, and you could substitute other sports or other activities, came to my mind. Major League Baseball is on such an unbelievably high level that except for the professionals who play on that level, which you're only talking about, 30 teams, 25 active players once the season gets underway. So what is that? 750 players and coaches and managers and everybody else. But the vast majority of baseball fans are bystanders and spectators. Now, when you talk about baseball for everyone, you're talking about Little League and T-ball and high school and college and minor leagues and rookie leagues and sandlot softball and all kind of gym classes, and everybody who gets into baseball or baseball-like games, not anywhere near the high level of Major League Baseball. But there is something precious about you and I actively playing some version of baseball. I'm not happy with the analogy because it puts Shabbat down too much, but at least the idea of spectator versus participant, you want to say not baseball but chess, grandmasters are your Kohen Gadols of the chess world. And the majority of the people can read about it, can look through the notations of a game and see if they could learn something from it. But they are by and large spectators. What makes chess a universal kind of thing are the millions of people who play chess on any kind of level, more so maybe than the grandmaster top level game. I don't want to overdo the analogies. I'll let you mull it over. Analogies are rarely perfect fits, but I hope you get the idea that I'm trying to convey, that Shabbat, active participation in Shabbat, keeping Shabbat, enjoying Shabbat, honoring Shabbat, abstaining from all forms of melacha, being strict with one's observance of Shabbat, that solidifies the covenant between God and Bnei Yisrael. I'll tell you something else, which is kind of on the sad side, and that is the Mikdash, when it existed, had mixed reviews as far as the people were concerned. How many times do we find in the prophets where the prophets are speaking in God's name, castigating the people for their hollow, empty observances? Who needs your oxen, your bulls, your rams, your lambs when you don't mean it, when you have no feeling in it? So that's another thing which says on the one hand, and then you say, and on the other hand, here is Shabbat. And Shabbat, from the beginnings of purchases in the Shuk and other preparations through Friday night and all day Shabbat and into Motzoi Shabbat, saturates the being of a person who is Shomer Shabbat. And again, I say that makes it worthy of being the eternal sign that God created the world and that God has this special relationship with the children of Israel. I guess I'll have to stop on that topic. I got very excited about it and very frustrated in my feeling of inability to express the ideas in the right way. I do not at all want it to come out negative towards the Beit HaMikdash. And I just think that we need a booster shot about Shabbat and its relevance in this whole picture. Let me change gears to Shkalim. I mentioned that there are four special Shabbatot prior to Pesach. The fact of the matter is that the first two, Shkalim and Zachor, are pretty much more related to Purim. I really shouldn't say that. Let me qualify. The collection, I said before that first time the silver half shekels were collected, the money was used for the foundation blocks of the Mishkan. In all years that the Beit HaMikdash stood, the half shekel was used as a communal fund collected towards the beginning of Adar because the fiscal year of the Beit HaMikdash, the year of the Beit HaMikdash, began in Nisan. So from the funds that were collected with equal share from everybody were the daily korbanot, the musafim of Chagim and Rosh Chodesh, and many other needs for the benefit of the entire congregation. I used the term earlier membership fee, which is really a good way to describe Machatzit HaShekel, because not only was it collected from everyone, but a person who refused to give it, in essence, was saying, I don't really want a part of this community. And there are certain functions in the Beit HaMikdash that are, let's say, served as atonement for certain minor sins or to help along the process of atonement for even major sins of all of Israel who participated in the Machatzit HaShekel. So a person says, I don't want to join, I don't want to be a member, I don't want to give membership dues, loses out on some of the membership benefits. Let me clarify something about men and women. Because the Machatzit HaShekel was also used as a census of the standing army, the Torah specifies that it is required only of men from the age of 20 and up. However, the halacha is clear that a woman who wanted to participate in the mitzvah of Machatzit HaShekel was able to do so. The donation was recorded separately from the list of those eligible for military service, males, but it was nonetheless part of the Machatzit HaShekel collection. Furthermore, a man who gave additional on behalf of his wife and his children continued to do so. A non-Jew who came to the Beit HaMikdash and said, I heard about this half shekel, silver half shekel collection, and I live in Israel and I support Israel and I'd like to participate, was told, sorry, this is only for Jews. There are many, many other funds related to the Beit HaMikdash that a non-Jew could contribute towards, but not the collection of Machatzit HaShekel. Now, today, we don't have the mitzvah of Machatzit HaShekel. We have the commemoration of Machatzit HaShekel, which I said I would talk about as we get closer to Purim. But there are some similarities. In fact, there are those who have a custom of not just giving three half shekels, but of giving money in the amount that would be equal to the value of the original silver half shekel, where we have a good idea of how many grains and grams of silver it was, and you check the price of silver. I'll announce it in a couple of weeks. And the shekel conversion rate, and you know how many shekels would be equivalent to the original Machatzit HaShekel. The important thing to emphasize is Zecher LeMachatzit HaShekel, commemorative of the half shekel. It is not to be confused with the actual mitzvah of Machatzit HaShekel, which we don't have today yet, because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash and the restoration of the whole thing. So on that note, let's summarize two Torahs this Shabbos, Vayakhel in the first, Parshat Shekalim in the second. By the way, if a shul only has one Torah, then they roll. But if they have more than one, then they're supposed to honor the Torah and honor the congregation by taking out two. And we bench Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, which will be Thursday, Friday. Other than that, Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtameah.